Good morning. It's good to see everyone today.
A few words of encouragement maybe for you this morning. We are going to be looking at talking about preachers, believe it or not. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Talk about preachers of the Bible and also preachers that we support. Some kind of a combination of those. And you know, one of the things that we do as a congregation, collectively we do, is we support preachers in other locations. We currently support 8 different men, partially. You know, we don't give all their support they receive, but we partially support 8 different men. And this support is the same type that was also practiced in the New Testament, where congregations supported preachers in different locations. That was a very common thing. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Tells us here that Paul was being supported by the Philippians. And you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. So here Paul was preaching in one place, receiving support from another place, just like we do, which is why we do it. That's why we do this kind of thing. In 3 John, here we have a good bit of this whole letter, which is a very short letter, of course. 3 John, in this letter, Gaius is being commended for his service to God. And specifically, he's supporting what's called the brothers, which seem to be traveling preachers or teachers. So let's look at 3 John, verses 3 through 5. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. So here Gaius is being told it was a good thing for him to support these brothers, even though they were strangers to him. He was supporting preachers, was a testimony of his faithfulness. And it should be that for us as well. It should be a testimony of our faithfulness. In verse 6, he says, who testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. So supporting these men for Gaius was a statement of their love, of his love for them, and his love for God. Well, that should be for us. Our support of these preachers that we support should be a testimony of our love for them and our love for God. In verse 7, it goes on to say, for they had gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. These brothers that John is talking about, they were not receiving support from the people they were trying to convert. They weren't going out trying to convert someone and say, oh, and by the way, can you give me a donation to help me in my way? And so if you're not receiving support from the people that you're trying to convert, then apparently, obviously, you have to receive your support from someone. And so here Gaius was helping these brothers. We don't expect the preachers we support to solicit funds from the people they're trying to convert either. So it's necessary that someone has to support them. In verse 8, therefore we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth. John is telling Gaius that he was a fellow worker of the truth and that we should support them. Or yours may say receive, or yours may say show hospitality. Different translations say it different ways. So we can work together for the truth. We are working with them. It's a joint operation between us and them. And I think I have not always appreciated this fact in our support for preachers, is that it is a joint participation. We are working with them to serve God in the area they work in. Well, of course, preachers have needs just like the rest of us. They have financial needs just like the rest of us. And the Bible speaks of how they actually worked a job to support themselves, and how they was also supported by churches. Paul sometimes self-supported himself, meaning he worked to earn money to support himself. Let's look at Acts chapter 18. This is one of the apostles who has description here of how he worked sometimes, raising his own support so that he could continue to preach. Acts 18, verses 1 through 3. After these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them because he was of the same trade. He stayed with them, and they were working for trade, for by trade they were tent makers. So Paul worked sometimes, supporting himself as a tent maker, so he could do the work of God. But Paul also gave a very strong argument that it was okay for him to receive support from the congregation that he was working with at the time. And that's found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you know, we know the congregation at Corinth had a lot of issues. And one of the things that Paul did when he was there to try to make people feel better about him was that he did not receive support from the Corinth church. But in the letter to the Corinthians, he talks about how it would be completely okay for him to do that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's begin verse 3. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife? Even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas, or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it, or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I am not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things to you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? Or if others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right. He's saying we didn't use this right. We didn't take money from you, but it was okay to. But we endure all things that we may cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share? And he goes on to say that this was a common practice throughout history of the people who were working in the religious services would receive support. And so Paul is given that defense. That it's certainly okay for a preacher to receive support of the congregation where he's working. Well, we know from the Bible that preaching is sometimes a very hard job. And sometimes from the Bible, we know it's a very rewarding job as well. Paul, we know, was stoned and left for dead, and many other terrible things. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. Paul suffered often in his service, but he also was encouraged sometimes and uplifted by the people he worked with. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. Here the people were encouraging Paul. Their faith was encouraging him, and he was bragging on them to other people about their strong faith. Well, you know, the men we support, they also face difficult and sometimes rewarding circumstances. I've got two of the letters here that I'm going to read from some of the men we... I have several letters that we're going to read today, but here I'm going to read from one from Don Brady. Don Brady works in Hodgkinville, Kentucky. The congregation he works at has about 35 members. We give him $300 support per month, which is 6% of his support. Brethren, it is the end of another wonderful month in the service of the Lord. My wife and I are continuing to preach and teach the gospel here in the city of Hodgkinville, Kentucky. The Lord has blessed us in the work of the Lord. We are still studying personally with a new convert. I spoke with Brother Claude Hollis on the telephone recently, and he advised me of your financial situation. I told him that I would be retiring after 40 years in preaching the gospel on May 1, 2020. The church here in Hodgkinville has a financial problem as well. The problem here is like many problems with churches. Some members are leaving to go to other local churches who are just having Sunday morning Bible studies and worship services. It seems some people are more interested in having their free time rather than to assemble and worship and encourage one another on Sunday nights. Some do not have midweek services. This is a trend that is growing among many local churches. I appreciate you help in my financial support. I will appreciate it so much if you continue helping me through April. And as a congregation, we've decided to do that. So continue to support him through April. I have another letter here from Brent Pascal. He's a preacher we support in Virginia. His congregation, where he works, has about 55 members. We give him $350 a month, which is also 6% of his support. I had a gospel meeting in October with the Dibble Road Church of Christ in Warrenville, South Carolina. Last year, we had Phil and Rachel Dersham visiting our services in Roanoke from Dibble Road, and we have kept in contact with them. The congregation asked for lessons on the cultural wars and challenges facing the church, including lessons on abortion, transgender issues, and women's roles in the assemblies. The Dershams and their two children hosted us in their home and made us feel very welcome. I was very surprised to learn that Phil and Rachel had been Christians for only a little more than 3 years. I was very encouraged by the congregation's love for one another and enthusiasm for God's Word. Fred Singleton, who is their evangelist, is doing a good work there along with his wife and 4 children. And he goes on to talk some more about the details there. When I recently visited Loretta Buten's home to try and talk with the grandson Joshua, I got to meet 2 of her grandnephews who were visiting while I was there. DJ and Jermaine were both 14 to 15 year old, and he's hoping to have a study with them. Rachel and I, which is his wife Rachel, and I worked on some renovations at our home in October. We live in a 3-bedroom, double-wide mobile home with all of our kids sharing a bedroom when my mother is living with us half the year. We moved our closet area to our bathroom and converted our closet into a small bedroom for John. He's very pleased with his new spot, and we're happy for him. In October, we got to see Brianna Smith, a young Christian lady from Birmingham, Alabama, for the second time. She called me back in the spring, letting me know she was making plans to hike the Appalachian Trail and asking if I would be willing to pick her up from the trail when she got close to Roanoke and bring her to church services. And he did that, and she was able to worship with them 2 different times as she was going up and coming down. So both these letters show illustrations of both encouraging and discouraging things that happen to these preachers. Very similar, well, not really similar to the first century preachers because they were suffering tremendous physical persecutions. Well, when we support these men, we are sharing with them in their work. And we may not always feel like it, though, because we don't know most of these people. But we are sharing in their work. But that is exactly how the Bible describes our efforts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning verse 1, talks about this idea of how we participate or how we share with these people, these men. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. You don't typically hear extreme poverty and generosity mentioned by the same people, but that's how he described these people. They lived in extreme poverty, but yet they gave generously. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They were sharing in the service, in Paul's work. And they do not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he has earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. So this giving of the support that we give these men every month, we're sharing in their work. And these letters they send, usually monthly, gives us a window into their life and the things they're experiencing. And I encourage you to read those. We usually post them on the back bulletin board. Well, let's think about our opportunity. These men need our support and our encouragement, for their work is the work of God that we can share in. You know, I think for the last 30 years since I've been a member here, and I may be wrong, this is just going off my memory, we have always supported preachers in other places. Somebody who's been here longer than me can correct me if I'm wrong or if my memory's faulty, but I think we have always supported people. We've been blessed with a large enough congregation and generous givers so that this support is possible. You know, that's what it takes. It takes us having a congregation large enough so that we can fulfill our needs here and then have money left over to send to other places. And it takes us being generous givers. We need to be thankful to God for our blessings and for our ability to support others. Ephesians 4:28 talks about one of the reasons we work is so we can help others. And this is one of the ways we do. You know, you may not, and I may not, get much satisfaction from my contribution going to the insurance bill or the electric bill or those kind of things. But those things have to be paid for also. But your support also goes to supporting these faithful men of God working in sometimes difficult situations, and we should feel blessed to be able to share with them in their work. And that's how the Bible describes it, is us sharing in their work. You know, our membership is not as large as it was, which means a bigger portion of your contribution goes to helping these people, these men every month. These men need our support and our encouragement, and it's good for us to help with the work of the Lord. And I'm going to read from Michael Hurst's monthly report. Michael Hurst preaches in Sturgis, Mississippi. He said they have about 12 members. We support him with $750 a month, which is 17% of his total support. Greetings in the Christ our Lord. As always, I continue preaching sermons, teaching Bible classes, editing, publishing, and passing out, and mailing our weekly bulletin, recording Bible's messages on the phone and answering machine, and making biblical posts on Facebook once or twice a week. I continue to share sermon outlines with the Sturgis Church at sermon time, as well as other folks, via the internet and in person. Sermons I have preached at Sturgis recently include This Jesus is the Christ and Church Discipline. After spending the Thanksgiving holiday in Texas with family, we visited with friends and brethren while en route home. December the 1st, I preached on laziness for the Highway 18 Church in Utica, Mississippi, in the morning, a sermon well received early in the year by the Sturgis and East Columbus, Mississippi congregations, and on People of the Book for the Trickham Bridge Road Church in Brandon in the evening. Both congregations are churches of about a dozen members. Each assembly that day, 15 to 20 people were present. In 2020, at Sturgis, our plans to focus upon people of the Bible as a theme throughout the year. In 2018, we've emphasized the minor prophets. In 2019, we made a point of reviewing all 27 New Testament books. We have scheduled a gospel meeting in April with Perry Hall and another Tuesday night sermon series in September with preachers from around Mississippi. As we continue our travels through both the Old and New Testaments in our classes, our Sunday morning adult class presses study 2 Kings, our Wednesday night adult class is about two-thirds of the way through our homily of the Gospels. And he continues to talk about their work there in Sturgis, Mississippi. Well, sometimes, as we've said earlier, Paul was discouraged. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is this daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? So Paul expressed here and in other places that he was sometimes discouraged for all the things that was going on. He says here, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Preachers feel this anxiety. They feel this pressure about their congregation. I found this quote from this guy named Casey Hugh online about preachers and some of the difficulties they face. And I'll just read it. All faithful servants encounter daily difficulties and trials, which many in the congregation do not understand or simply do not perceive to be real. The occasional office drop-in criticism, lack of participation, or general pettiness of a church member can quickly leave the strongest of ministers feeling depressed, isolated, and unappreciated by their congregation. Confusion and uncertainty about their work as a minister can begin to slowly creep into their minds, causing them to feel more like an employee with dozens of bosses rather than a servant of the risen Christ. That's from Casey Hughes. Well, we should know that preachers need our encouragement. And it's our duty to give preachers encouragement as well as encourage each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning verse 9, it tells us here, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing." He encourages there to encourage one another, each other. We're supposed to encourage each other, which includes these preachers that we've been talking about. Got another letter here from Jim Allen. He preaches at the Houston, Mississippi congregation. They have about 33 members. We support him $500 a month, which is 11% of his support. "Dear brethren, I hope each of you are prospering in the Lord. I appreciate the continual help you provide that allows me to continue working in Houston, Mississippi. All the changes that were mentioned last month in our Bible classes have been made. Brother Green is now teaching the book of James. Our ladies and men's Bible classes are meeting now. We had our congregational meeting to discuss the talks that have been going on with the institutional group here in Houston. The three men involved in these discussions from our congregation informed us on the discussions that have taken place dealing with the differences between the two groups and their perspective if there could be a scriptural resolution of these differences so the two congregations may worship together. We're going to continue the discussions with them. Progress has been made, and we solicit your continual prayers in this effort. A personal note, my wife Lisa has been sick 3 months with C. diff. She's taken several rounds of antibiotics. So far, none have taken care of the C. diff. And then he gives some more details about her sickness, and he asks, please remember her in your prayers. Thank you again for your continued help. This month I preached the following sermons at North Jackson," and he lists the sermons that he's been preaching. Have you ever thought about what type of preacher we should support? What type of preacher should we support? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it gives a good list here, basically, a good indication of the type of man we should support. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. "Our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive." Okay, I'll read that again. "Our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive." So, a preacher that will teach the truth with pure motives would certainly be the type of preacher we would want to support. Look at verse 4. "But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." So we should support a preacher who understands that it's God who has given him the duty of teaching, and his work is in the service of God. Someone who clearly understands that. Verse 5. "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness." We should support a preacher that doesn't use flattery to manipulate people, as it says here. Verse 6, "Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ." We should support a preacher that's not looking for praise from men, but is serious about his duty to God. In verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." We should support a preacher who is gentle towards his congregation and concerned for the brethren he's working with. You know, we believe the men that we support fit this bill, or we wouldn't support them. But if you would like to include, you know, each month I send these preachers a support check. If you would want to write a note of encouragement to encourage these brethren, I would be glad to include it with the support check. You know, put yourself in their shoes and think what a note like that from us would do for them. So, just an idea. Next, I'm going to read one from Ernest Roberts, who preaches in the island nation of Grenada. They have about 27 members. We support him $600, which we recently increased to $600, which is 25% of his total support. Year 2019 will soon be history. Unfortunately, some of the challenges of the passing year will continue with us for the new year. Even extreme weather conditions for our region is predicted in 2020. Last summer, I started teaching our next-door neighbor who recently moved to our area to live. Allison Rubin is a pediatrician by profession and visits his wife occasionally. It took Allison quite some time during our weekly Bible study to tell me that she was a member of the Church of Christ but left the church years ago. I was pleasantly surprised. When asked why she left, she declined to give her reason for quitting the church. Allison's hometown is a village called Corinth, located on the east coast of Grenada. She was a member of the church in her hometown of Corinth. In 1975, Eden, which is Ernest's wife, and I taught and baptized two women in a village called Content near Corinth. The two women formed the nucleus of the church in Content Village at the time. As the work expanded in the area, the Christians bought property at nearby Corinth, where they now have their own meeting place. I spoke with a member of the church at Corinth relative to Allison's unfaithfulness, and I was told Allison left the church after her and the local preacher had a long-standing feud. We lost significant support at the end of the year from Market Street Church in Athens, Alabama. The healing process for my vision has been slow due to many factors. We thank you for your prayers, patience, and commitment. We solicit the same in 2020 in Christian love and with all best wishes for year 2020. Ernest has a lot of health problems. His wife does too. He's an elderly gentleman, from what I understand, so they have a lot of challenges. I want us to feel good about supporting the work in Houston, Starkville, and Sturgis, Mississippi, in Columbus, Georgia, in Blue Ridge Church in Virginia, in Hodgsonville, Kentucky, and in the island country of Grenada. That's all the places that we support people in. These men are doing the work of God, and we are blessed to be able to support them in their work. Got a letter here from Tom Holly, who preaches at the Starkville, Mississippi congregation. They have about 45 members. We send him $200 a month, which is about 3% of his total support. The Monday night college class is studying different topics. Ryan Poe did move to Atlanta, and Tyler Sadlin has taken lead in these classes. The high school class meets every Monday afternoon at 3:30, and we are studying Leviticus. I'm also studying Leviticus with the adult class on Sunday. And you list a good group of people here that he has home Bible studies with. I'm studying the book of Luke with all of these. I'm studying John in Spanish with Kirby Davis. Two new students we have are Marion Mead and Nikki Poe. I'm preaching in Spanish from time to time in Tuscaloosa. Just returned from preaching a meeting in Calera, Alabama. We will probably continue our Bible study in Spanish together on the Internet. Every Wednesday and Saturday, I conduct classes via the Internet in two different Chilean cities. And he says I have 11 home studies a week with over 30 individuals. And he lists some of his topics that he's preaching, that he preaches there. He says, we are so thankful for your help and encouragement to preach the gospel in this college community. Tom Holly. And we have other men. I didn't read all the letters of all the men we support today, but they do send them, and you're encouraged to read those. They're on the bulletin board in the back. Well, the reason the Apostle Paul and these men are willing to devote their lives to teaching the gospel is because they believe it's only through Jesus Christ that we're saved. That's why they do it. And at the end of our service today, we will ask the question, have you experienced the saving grace found in Jesus? What is your relationship? If you're ready to respond to the call of the gospel, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.